This week, I got an email from Sarah Caldwell in Viroqua, Wisconsin, who listens to For the Birds on WDRT. She writes, "My back porch is by the kitchen where I sit for the better part of each day, observing the birds visiting the feeder and bird bath and eating the sunflower seeds scattered on the porch. Watching their movements is fascinating, how they hop or walk, how they eat the seeds, how they perch on the wrought iron chairs to get a better look at my bird bath or to dry off. I change the water every day. I love to watch the robins and cowbirds bathing. I'm writing to ask you to please speak about the cowbirds. I find their plumage beautiful and how they congregate in flocks, the males swelling up to impress the females, and their other behaviors are capturing my interest. I know they have some behaviors which are not very honorable, not sure what they are. I'm hoping that you would be willing to share some words about these birds." Brown-headed cowbirds do deserve attention, so here you go, Sarah. I saw my first on April 27, 1975, number 16 on my life list, and the only lifer I ever added from Russ's and my one-bedroom apartment in Lansing, Michigan. We had a bird feeder in what passed for a backyard, a treeless courtyard of lawn and dandelions encircled by six apartment buildings. We didn't see a lot of birds in there, so I was surprised to wake up hearing something new and cool, a liquid gurgling sound. I jumped out of bed, looked out, and there they were, several brown-headed cowbirds, the males completely living up to the brown-headed part of their name, and the nondescript females recognizable by the company they were keeping. I was charmed by the males making that cool sound as they opened their wings and made a deep bow. A couple of times I've seen males do that bowing action from a thin telephone wire, leaning over so far that they've lost their balance and toppled over. Normally, they do it on the ground or a sturdy enough branch or wire that they don't lose their footing. The little group of backyard cowbirds that spring were fun for me to watch. I was very impressed with how some species seemed so monogamous and territorial, while the cowbirds were decidedly neither. I watched one female mate with six different males in quick succession. Monogamy seemed entirely out of the question, though studies show that cowbirds in many areas actually are monogamous. Wherever they are, they're sociable, gathering in flocks to feed or simply to sit in trees or on wires together, seeming to derive security in numbers. That spring, I was taking an environmental education class and had a few friends who knew about birds with me. I told them about every new bird I saw. And that's how I discovered that as charming as the cowbird seemed to me, people knowledgeable about birds seemed to despise them. It turns out that cowbirds are what we call obligate nest parasites. Rather than build their own nest, female cowbirds lay their eggs, an average of 41 per year, in the nests of other birds, leaving those other birds to rear the young. Oddly, people who revel in the idea of predation, enthusiastically sharing photos of hawks feeding on bloodied warblers and vireos and saying, "Nature red in tooth and claw," disapprove of brood parasitism, though that is just as much a part of nature, and for millennia was the only way cowbirds could keep their species alive. Next time I'll talk about the complicated nesting strategy of this all-American bird. I'm Laura Erickson, speaking for the birds.